Okay, good morning, everybody. So last night, Lavi bought me the Be'er HaParsha, and I saw a tremendous diuk that Rav Mayach Biederman quotes in the name of Biurei Tzadikim, Tzadikim Omru. The following diuk that I think is phenomenal. In the third pasuk, in the fourth pasuk of this parasha, pasuk Hey, V'gam ani shemati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael. And I also hear the crying out of the b'nei Yisrael. What do you mean, I also? What do you mean, gam? Very striking word. What do you mean, I also? So say the tzaddikim, right? That the hanhaga of the world is, when kasher yishma isha tzakas re'eu, when other people hear the crying out of their friend and have mercy on them, therefore I too come along and have rachmim on people as well. Which is unbelievable. That when a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that we, Jewish people, have mercy on our neighbors and our friends and the rest of Klal Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into action, so to speak, Kaviyachol, and showers up with mercy. So he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Kol merachim ala brios, merachim ala min ha-shamayim. In Shabbos Kufnun Aleph and Beis. When you have mercy on other people, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on you. Now we understand that mercy means, rachim means you don't deserve it. It's mamish sounds like a trick. It mamish sounds like a bribery, like a shochad. That you, a person could be perhaps not fit to receive a certain blessing. A certain person could perhaps be destined for a very harsh judgment. But nevertheless, if a person has mercy on his friends, merachmim all of min hashamayim. Then all of a sudden you can have extra mercy. And this happens to be in the Eitzos Lazakos Bedin. This is one of the highlights of a way to be Zocha and Din. When a person has mercy on Merachim Alav Brios, right? Then he has mercy, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on him. I think it's brought down that many Gedolim would even have mercy Alav Brios, even on creatures, meaning even on animals, right? If you have mercy on animals, even animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Merachim. So you see it very clearly in that pasuk, the gam ani shemati snakas b'nei Yisrael. When a person goes ahead and has mercy on his friend, then he himself will be destined to mercy, and that's really a kiyum of the Gemara in Shabbos there as well. So we also have another problem. The other question we see that who are the pasuk in this week's parasha sometimes puts Aaron before Moshe, sometimes before Moshe and then Aaron, and Rashi points out that that there is shkul and kechot. Right? They're equal. But the Shlas Kasha, he says, I don't understand. How can we say that Aaron and Moshe are actually equal? It's very difficult. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Aaron Miko Adam, and Lo Kom Od, Navi Moshe, nobody came up like Moshe. And then Bamidbar it says, Lo Kain Moshe Avdi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Aaron, he says, nobody's like Moshe. So how can we say in our parasha that Aaron is like Moshe and Moshe is like Aaron? It's Shkul and Keachar. It doesn't make any sense. It's not necessarily true. In other parts of the Torah that we describe him. So the Ksav Sofer says that Pshati says that when was Aaron equal to Moshe? Dafka? When they went before Paro. When they went before Paro, it should have been that Aaron felt slighted. Moshe, apparently Paro knew how great Aaron was. He knew that Aaron was older. And yet, who was the leader? Moshe Rabbeinu. And because Dafka, during this time, when Aaron had to sort of take a back seat to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was older and in some ways had been the leader up until now, he had to take a back seat, he had to work on his kavod. Because of that, that's why Aaron was elevated to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's counterintuitive. A person thinks, when he takes the back seat in the picture, when he becomes the second fiddle, you think, oh, he's the second fiddle. Pum fakert. You know what we're saying? No. That Aaron, when he expressed that no jealousy for Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's that he's fulfilling his role. On the contrary, that's dafka when he's elevated to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a tremendous yisod in life. There are always going to be people ahead of us in life. It's always like that. It's always like that. You know, what can we become? What title can we get? And we can say, oh, we're at the top. No, it's never going to be like that, right? The idea is we always have to understand that there's always a level of anivus that is going to be required. And the earlier we realize that, and the more we learn from Aaron HaKohen, that everybody has to understand you have a specific role. And as long as you do your role best, it's perfect. Everything's fine. And that's what Aaron internalized. And Aaron really embodied this yisod, that he was fulfilling his role. And when a person fulfills his role, he's doing his tafkid. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference if Moshe was chosen as the leader. It doesn't make a difference. As long as you fulfill your role, then you're okay. And not only okay, you're on then dafka during those times, you're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Perhaps I should say over the mashal. I'm sure I think you've heard this before, but I'll say it again because it fits exactly with how it is that Aaron HaKohen can take a back seat in such a wholesome and genuine way with the following mashal. Right, there is a bus driver for the Eged bus. For the Eged bus, one bus driver is the bus driver for bus route 57, and one bus driver was the bus driver for route 7. And the bus driver for Route 57 was having a great time because his bus was always jam-packed. And at the end of the day, he brought in tons of money for the company. And also, the same people came, very nice people. He enjoyed his job, and he brought in a lot of money. And the bus driver for Route 7, so it happens to be that very few people came on his bus. And the people that came on his bus were not exciting and at all, quite boring. And so one day, the bus driver for Route 7 said, you know what? Forget this. If I really want to help the company, if I really want to do the best thing for the company, I'm going to change my number in the morning to 57. I'm going to go around. I'm going to have a geschmacka time. I'm going to have great people on my bus. And I'm also going to bring the company money. So that's what he did. And at the end of the day, he dropped off his big bag of tons of money in the office of the headquarters of the depot. And he went home. The next morning, he comes to his bus, and he sees a pink slip on his door. Comes to the supervisor. Comes to the head of the company right away. And he goes, he says, oh, you want to thank me, right? Maybe it wasn't a pink slip, it was the regular slip. Thank you. He's like, no, you fool. You're such a fool. What did you do yesterday? He's like, what do you mean, what did I do yesterday? Yesterday, I had a packed bus. I brought in tons of money for the company. And I thought you were thanking me. Thanking you? You don't understand. You don't understand how we work. We have a deal with the city. We need to provide all of these routes. Now, if we don't have a Route 7, then we get fined. We have to have a Route 7. And what do you think? You think that because you came home with a big sack of money, at the end of the day, just like Route 57, you get more money? No. Whether the driver for Route 57 and the driver for Bus 7, it doesn't make a difference how much money you bring into the company. As long as you drive your route, as long as you do your job, you get paid the same, exact. And he's like, what? That's the muscle. The nimshel is so poshut. Some people have more money, some people have more kavod, some people have bigger jobs. It doesn't make a difference. But as long as you drive your route, as long as you do your job, then what? Then you get paid the top dollar. That was the pshat. When Aaron HaKohen walked into Paro with Moshe Rabbeinu and he was doing his role, which was second fiddle, which was unique for him, which he wasn't used to, so Hashem says, oh, you're happy with your job? Gvaldik, you're on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. A tremendous yisod in Anova. And it's tremendous yisod understanding a person's role in this world. And Aaron did that. And during Dafka, during these parashios, he's called equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rush writes in the Mishnah and Peah, Eilu dvaram she'adam ochel prosim b'olam hazeh, v'akeren keren z'olam habo. And what do we say? Kibrav eim, k'milus chasadim, haval shalom b'edam chavero, bikur cholim, haval esimeis. All these things, if you notice, says the Rush, are b'edam chavero. B'edam chavero. Yeah, v'sal b'torah k'neged kulim. Okay, that's b'edam l'mokom. But what do you see? The list is overwhelmingly related to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Says the Rosh the following things. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz yoyser b'mitzvos she'yaseh behem gam rotzon abrios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors. He likes better when you do mitzvos that are related to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Mi mitzvos she'Bein Adam L'Kono. More so than the mitzvos of Bein Adam L'Kono. You see an amazing thing. That there's a special value that a Kadosh Baruch Hu places on mitzvot b'nei chavero. And this is exactly what we're talking about. V'gam ani shemati z'nachas b'nei Yisrael. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu sees us listening to our friends, listening to our neighbors, Aaron HaKohen, his milah was that he took a back seat and he had covered for Moshe Rabbeinu. He understood his role. And this mission is telling us, where do you get the biggest reward in this world and the next world? Bin al chavero. That is in many ways greater than then Ben Olam Mokom, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it. And I think it's poshut. I think we can say very, very, very quick mashal that just came to my head, right? If you have a parent that has a number of children, right? Of course, if the child brings a glass of water to the father or takes out the garbage for the father is happy. And he really appreciates it when the son does the jobs that he asked him to do. But I tell you for myself, we have it, Baruch Hashem, we have it often. But to see the kids playing nicely, to see them getting along, there's no greater nachas. To all of a sudden, to let's say, leave the house and see that the kids together, they made some food, or they cleaned up the house together, they did something, or they made a project together. You know what kind of nachas that is? And the same thing, that's, of course, that's just a microcosm of what happens by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees us getting along with each other, helping each other out, the nachas that brings the Kodesh Baruch Hu is so true. And the truth is, now the mashal, I think, is very clear. And that's what the Rosh is saying. We say every morning, Eilu Dvarim, the list is overwhelmingly related to Bin Amel Chavero. It's all about Bin Amel Chavero. And Malach Biederman also quotes in terms of Shovim, he says that by the Haruge Beitar, which you know is one of the greatest Yom Tovim, so he says Beitar could also be, Haruge Beitar could be, the words can be switched from Beitar to Bris, and he says the Baruch of Atovo Meitiv is also established for Haruge Beitar. The Pshat was, what was so great about it? Because the whole idea of the bearing of the Haruge Beitar was of course Chesed Shel Emes. And when you do Chesed Shel Emes, that brings what is called Hatova HaMeitiv. So, just one more Steinman story. You can't stop telling you Steinman stories. Zitzal, and we can learn so much from his life. Which, you know, just to, I would just maybe I would I don't want to if I have to say this line over Shabbos, but I'll say it now anyway. If you look through any Musar Sefer, Steinman Zitzal was a pirush chai. He was a live embodiment of every Musar Sefer you ever open. So, in terms of Ben Olam Chaver, you have to hear this Moridika story that I heard last week. I'm not sure if you heard it yet, but here's the story. A child, right, the night before a child's bris, he gets checked out by the mohel. So the night before this young boy's bris, he was checked by the mohel, and the mohel says, I'm sorry, he's not healthy, there's something wrong with him. So, what happens? So they take the kid to the doctor, and sure enough, he has a very serious heart ailment. And the doctor said that we don't know how to deal with this heart issue, but the only place they can deal with it is in Boston. But the problem is that given his health condition and his situation, I'm not sure if he can make the flight to Boston. So they didn't know what to do. The doctor really didn't tell him what to do. So they went to Rav Steinman's hotel and the night before the bris. And they said, this is what the doctor said. So he said, listen, the same way the doctor doesn't know how to do the surgery, you don't have to take his word for it, or you don't have to take into account his concern about flying to Boston. Fly to Boston and Mirz Hashem, you'll have the surgery and everything will be fine. So, sure enough, they go to Boston, they have the surgery, and it's successful, and a few months later, they come back to Bnei Brak, and they're ready to have the bris. And they called Rav Steinman, and they said, as Rakar Zatov, for your Eitzah, and for your guidance, we want to honor you to be the Tzaddik. And Rav Steinman says, no. They said, why are you saying no? You know, and they know that Rav Steinman usually says yes. So, does anyone guess why he said no? Anyone know the story? So, it's an amazing... I never would have thought of this. He said, you know why I can't be the Tzaddik? Because he remembered a few months ago, when did they come to find out what to do with this child? The night before the bris. There is nobody who has not yet picked the Tzaddik the night before a bris. And since it was somebody who was picked already as a Tzaddik the night before the bris, and I'm going to be not stepping on his toes, of course, that person would be for sure willing and happy to give the cover of the Tzaddik to Rav Steinman. He did not want to overstep his bounds. He didn't want to take somebody else's place as a tzaddik before the bris. You come to him a few days after your baby's born before a tzaddik, he'll say, yes, no problem. But he knew that even though, of course, that person would say for sure, he did not want to take anybody's job. He was so sensitive. Can you imagine the sensitivity that he had for the person who was originally a tzaddik? He wouldn't have been upset, but he was supposed to be the tzaddik. He said if somebody else was supposed to be the tzaddik, and he knew that, and he remembered that, that it was the night that they came to him the night before the bris, I don't want to take his job, I don't want to take his role. I mean, of course, it certainly speaks volumes to the whole person. When you're on that madrigo, when your whole life is a walking Musar Sefer, when you're what Rav Shor said about Rav Steinman Zatzal in a hesped that he gave in America, that he was a merkova for the Shekhinah, he was a chariot for the Shekhinah. When you have that type of, if they have that type of life, so of course your sensitivity, you know, antennas are up, and it's partial to you that you can't be the tzaddik the night before the bris, because they came to you the night before the bris. You see that these are the Gedolei Yisrael. There's no question about it. The hasmoda that's going on in this Beis Medrash the past few weeks is incredible. The alumni here are learning beautifully, and obviously it shows that you're still very much learning beautifully, you know, in Chutz La'aretz as well. But just as a one small nekuda, You know, I don't even think you guys need that much improvement. But again, everybody needs improvement. I think you guys are doing amazing. But you see, mamish from the Mishnah in Peah from the Rosh, and what Aaron HaKohen did, and when Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, Mahu Rachum Afatar Rachum, just like he heard the cries of Bnei Yisrael. Because why? Because we heard the cries of our brethren. We have to be, and this is, I don't want to say easy, but some could say it's slightly, it could be relative, you know. When it comes to Hasmada, you have to put a lot of kochos into Hasmada. But and of course you have to. It's a requirement. There's no two ways about it. But it comes to Ben Amlo Chavero, so I don't want to say it's easier, but if a person opens his eyes and opens his ears and he's Sam Lev and he pays attention to the needs of the people around him, and he's careful about what he says to his friends, he's careful about how he talks to his friends, so then we can follow in the ways of Kadosh Baruch Hu, follow in the ways of Aaron HaKohen, and then we can also be zeiche to fulfill all the mitzvahs in the Mishnah Peah, and we can be ochel pro, same olam hazeh, and olam haba. Have a great Shabbos.